Hello, and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU provides each of our listeners with current information on a wide variety of topics related to health, athletic performance, fitness, and nutrition. On track one, Corey will provide his commentary adapted from international journals, clinical articles, and the Certified Sports Nutrition Advisor Home Study Education Program. On track two, he will be joined by Tracy Hawley on He Said, She Said for her perspective on topics related to women's health, relationships, and raising healthy children. Track three features an interview with our special guest who will share their expertise and experience in the healthcare, fitness, and sports nutrition field. Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello everyone and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, February 2004. Last month I discussed some of the reasons why conventional mainstream physicians don't prescribe natural health products as a primary defense and treatment against disease. All in all, the issue really boils down to education, economics, politics, differences in naturopathic and allopathic medical paradigms regarding the ultimate cause and treatment of disease, professional peer pressure, social demand, pharmaceutical influence, conformity, excessive medical specialization and isolation, conservative thinking, a strong desire to protect vested interest, and a tremendous underestimation of the power of natural health products. In this edition of Clinical Review, I'd like to focus on the function and importance of the endocrine system. The endocrine system is a complex and highly specialized network of ductless glands that manufacture and release substances called hormones. Endocrine gland can be reduced from the Greek endo is translated meaning within, and crin or crine means to secrete. So you can say endocrine or endocrine, come see, come saw. Hormone as a word is derived from the Greek word hormeo and means to rouse or set in motion. Endocrine glands such as the thyroid or pituitary first discharge their hormones into the extracellular space, the space outside of the cell, around their secretory cells, which then diffuse directly into the lymph system or the bloodstream. Although these glands produce extremely small quantities of hormones, they exert powerful effects on tissues and systems throughout the entire body. Hormones influence specific organs or cells known as target cells. That's where the hormones go. They can alter the permeability of cell membranes, affect enzyme systems, and regulate gene transcription. So they're very powerful substances. Each target cell, which is where the hormone connects, has about 2,000 to 100,000 receptors. These receptors, which are continuously broken down and synthesized, are made of large protein or glycoprotein molecules and can bind with only one specific type of hormone. So each receptor is hormone specific. If you don't have enough receptors for a specific hormone, you're going to be in trouble, and these receptors are damaged by eating incorrectly, a lot of stress mentally. Also has an extremely corrosive effect on these receptor sites on the cell membranes. Plus, the glands themselves are affected, too, by nutrition directly. Receptors decrease in number when their specific hormone is present in excess amounts. This process is called downregulation. Like if a guy is taking steroids, there's a downregulation effect because he has so much of the steroid in his blood. In contrast, the process of upregulation involves an increase in the number of cell receptors. If there's not enough of the hormone present, the cell will produce more receptors to catch the hormone. This improves hormonal sensitivity, and you're going to hear me talk a lot about insulin sensitivity, and this is directly connected here because if you become insulin resistant, and we're just talking about one hormone now, insulin, if the cell receptors can't connect with insulin, you're going to be in trouble, because then you can't get energy. You can't transport glucose into the cell. So that's just one hormone. And again, there's almost 100 hormones floating around in the system. If the cell receptors are damaged, cells then become less sensitive to the effects of the particular hormone in which they are supposed to interact, causing hormonal resistance. Hormones play a fundamental role in human biochemistry and greatly contribute to general health and function. In fact, many health professionals associate the status of our internal endocrine glands with longevity of life and the status of our overall being. Truly, we are as young, powerful, and vital as the capacity of our glandular system, our endocrine system, to produce these cellular messengers. That's what a hormone is. It's a cellular messenger. The human endocrine system consists of more than a dozen specialized tissues and glands producing close to 100 distinct hormones and related substances. Of course, each hormone produced by these tissues is essential and necessary for optimum health. However, over the next few editions of Clinical Review, I'm going to focus on individual hormones and, in particular, the following: growth hormone, insulin, glucagon, melatonin, testosterone, cortisol, dehydroepiandrosterone, more commonly known as DHEA, and the thyroid hormones. And these endogenous hormones — endogenous means originating from within, something your body makes inside. That's what the word endogenous means. These endogenous hormones are emphasized not only because of their direct roles in managing the growth and strength of skeletal muscle and the process of recovery from the effects of strenuous exercise, but also because exogenous hormones that originate from the outside — you inject yourself with growth hormone, you're taking hormones exogenously. So these exogenous forms of hormones, also called doping agents in sport, are commonly used by athletes for enhancing performance. And so that's why we're going to focus on those particular hormones. The endocrine system works with the nervous and immune systems to regulate activities within the body and to preserve its homeostasis or balance. Hormones regulate the chemical composition and volume of our internal terrain, affect metabolism — the rate that you process materials, build, and break down, that's metabolism — and energy balance, and plays a huge role in the rate of protein synthesis and human reproduction. Hormones vary in their chemical influence and elemental structure. Thus, they are divided into four separate groups. Number one, peptides and proteins. Two, steroids. Three, biogenic amines. And four, eicosanoids. Peptide and protein hormones consist of amino acid chains, which number from about 3 to 200. Some protein hormones are attached to groups of carbohydrates and are therefore called glycoproteins. Steroid hormones are derived from cholesterol, and although they all share a four-ring structure in common, differences in side chains attached to various sites of these rings make each steroid very unique. Biogenic amines means that they are produced by living organisms. That's what biogenic means. These amines are the simplest of the four classes of hormones and are synthesized through the modification of ammonia derived from specific amino acids. Thyroid hormones, for example, are modified forms of tyrosine, the amino acid tyrosine, whereas serotonin and melatonin are both tryptophan derivatives. Another example is histamine, which is released from mast cells when you get an allergy reaction. That's synthesized from the amino acid histidine or histidine. And fourth, eicosanoids, including prostaglandins and leukotrienes, are manufactured from fatty acids, explaining the significance of fat in the diet and why we need to minimize the consumption of trans fats and fried food. If you eat nothing but garbage fat, you're going to produce faulty functional hormones that can't do the job. You're going to end up with insulin resistance and resistance to many of your hormones by eating the wrong fats. So the fats that you eat have to have those essential fatty acids. And even if they have the essential fatty acids, you got to make sure that the fat isn't damaged. Most hormones are proteins and polypeptides. Protein hormones are water-soluble and are transported freely through the blood as they are released. Steroid hormones are less soluble in watery plasma. So the after secretion of these hormones, the steroid hormones become attached to special transport proteins produced by the liver so they can reach their target cells. So imagine something not being soluble in water but traveling through a watery medium. It's got to attach itself to a transport protein. And that's the function of protein also in the body, is to transport vitamins and hormones that require special transport support. Endocrinology is the branch of medicine dealing with the endocrine glands and their internal secretions. There's a whole field of medicine dedicated towards its knowledge and science and investigation. The field is somewhat technical, so endocrinologists, maybe some of you have been to an endocrinologist, is a medical doctor who specializes in understanding the function of glands and their hormones. They've designed a method that studies the system according to four classes of anatomy and function. Number one, the endocrine glands and the tissues themselves. Two, their hormonal secretions. Three, the responding tissues which contain receptors which bind with the hormones. And four, the effects of the hormones on cells and body function once they become bound to receptors. So there's a division of investigation, and sometimes somebody might not have problem with releasing a hormone, but maybe the problem is it's not connecting with the receptor, or maybe it's connecting with the receptor, but the influence in the cell environment itself could be the problem, and that's where it gets complex. Hormones exert their actions differently depending upon their chemical class. Peptide hormones need to connect with intracellular receptors, but because they are water-soluble, they cannot diffuse through the phospholipid bilayers of the cell's plasma membrane. Acting then as what are known as first messengers, protein hormones bind to receptor protein on the surface of a cell membrane to begin the message delivery process. So you've got this hormone floating through the blood, connects with the receptor, has to get through the bilayer of the cell membrane to get its message across. And the hormone doesn't necessarily get into the cell and get down to the nucleus. It sends this message across inside the world of the cell. Once the hormone is bound to its receptor molecule, G protein molecules transfer the hormonal message from the outer surface of the membrane to the inner surface of the membrane. The message then activates an enzyme called adenylate cyclase, which stimulates the conversion of ATP, adenosine triphosphate, in the cytoplasm of the cell to cyclic AMP. Cyclic AMP is also known as cyclic 3,5 adenosine monophosphate. You don't have to worry about memorizing all these terms and technical descriptives, but the connection here is just trying to understand how hormones work on a basic cellular level. Cyclic AMP, also called CAMP, acts as the second messenger and is responsible for activation of enzymes that phosphorylate the process, that connect with energy. These are called protein kinases. Cyclic AMP is eventually deactivated and held in check by another enzyme called phosphodiesterase. Protein kinases then activate or inactivate specific enzymes which instigate many of the changes that occur in the cell, such as an increase in enzymatic reactions, increased protein synthesis, altered membrane diffusion, or the release of stored hormones. Due to their lipid-soluble properties, steroid hormones and thyroid hormones are able to enter the cell directly and activate specific genes. That's what hormones do. They can activate genes, which then transcribe their messages. After entering the cell, the hormone binds to a receptor protein located on the surface of the nucleus. The activated receptor then alters gene expression through interaction with nuclear DNA. This results in gene transcription, producing messenger RNA. Messenger RNA becomes a plate for protein synthesis, producing enzymes that carry out the effects of the original hormone. Remember that cells are basically just little mini protein factories, And it's all a function of hormones, which ultimately come from endocrine glands. And so the health of your glands are extremely important. When studying the list of principal endocrine tissues and glands, it is apparent that some hormones are produced and released from tissues and organs more commonly known for other functions. And this is why some people get confused about the difference between the pancreas as an exocrine gland and an endocrine gland. Some organs and glands have multiple functions. So some of the tissues and organs in the body that do both are the pancreas, the stomach, the duodenum, which is part of the small intestine, the kidneys, and the liver. These organs contain specialized endocrine glands responsible for hormone release. For example, the pancreas, which is also an exocrine gland, meaning that it secretes substances other than hormones through a duct into other regions of the body. The pancreas produces digestive enzymes and bicarbonate, which it releases through a duct or hollow tube into the small intestine. But it also contains 1 to 2 million tiny clusters of specialized endocrine cells known as the islets of Langerhans, where the hormones insulin, glucagon, somatostatin, and pancreatic polypeptide are manufactured and released. Endocrine glands are provided with a rich supply of blood from vascular tissue, which enables them to remain sensitive to the constant and ongoing changes in the body. Hormones react to the presence or absence of other hormones and respond to alterations in blood sugar or glucose, amino acids, and nutritional elements such as potassium, calcium, or other important electrolytes. For example, the parathyroid glands secrete parathyroid hormone, also known as parathormone, which is a protein consisting of 83 amino acids in a single polypeptide chain. Parathormone acts directly on the target cells of bone tissue. If calcium drops, parathormone is released and stimulates osteolysis, which is the softening, absorption, and destruction of bony tissue. This liberates calcium from storage at the expense of bone, resulting in an increase of serum calcium concentration. When serum calcium levels return to the normal level, parathormone release is inhibited. This system of adjustment is known as negative feedback mechanism. It's a negative feedback mechanism, and in this way, calcium levels are maintained within a narrow range, even when calcium intake is high or calcium is lost from the body. If you don't have enough calcium coming in all the time, then you have a constant hormonal release and a reduction of bone tissue, and that's what leads to this osteoporosis. Endocrine glands and their hormonal secretions often interact in complex regulatory systems involving interconnecting negative feedback loops. One such system is the hypothalamic pituitary target organ axis. In this example, the hypothalamus, a region of the brain, releases neurohormones that stimulate the release of specific pituitary hormones. So a region of the brain speaks with the pituitary and commands it, tells it to release certain hormones, which then go out into the body, and they influence other tissues, cells, and organs, even muscle. These hormones from the pituitary then affect the thyroid or the adrenals and the gonads, which are the testicles or the ovaries. And as the concentration of target gland hormones rises in the blood, there is a corresponding decrease in the production and release of the original mother hormones activated in the brain. So the body communicates with itself, and there's where the connection is with the whole body. You take one part of the body out, and something that needs to be there, that needs to connect with the rest of the body, is no longer present. Plus, the whole other body is looking for what's missing now to connect with. And that's what holistic medicine is. It's about understanding the connection between everything that's normally present. Hormones are extremely potent substances. One of their primary roles, which affects all cellular activities, is to ensure that the composition of extracellular outside the cell and intracellular fluids, meaning inside the cell, that constancy, that homeostasis, that balance, their function is to make sure that it remains constant. The control of normal growth, development, reproduction, and fetal management rests upon the continuing influence of hormones. The endocrine system is intimately involved with adapted responses to stress, sexual interest and performance, muscle tone and fat burning, menstruation, healing, emotional and mental function, and in concert with the nervous and immune systems, permits the orderly progression of human life. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening. And here's a quote from George Orwell, the British novelist. "The essence of being human is that one does not seek perfection." And in like mind from the British poet Alexander Pope, "Whoever thinks a faultless peace to see, thinks what ne'er was, nor is, nor e'er shall be."